state is very good.
Could we have the joy now of hearing about Gurudev and the Shankaracharya tradition?
The tradition, you might have been feeling all the time that I am all for the tradition. Ancient tradition, old tradition, and why? Someday I analyzed on the point that truth is that which never changes. The definition of truth is that which never changes. That is truth. That which never changes is eternity, infinity, absolute being, cosmic intelligence. That is the element that never changes. It is eternal. Something that is nearest to it, it is in the relative, it changes, but it changes after a long time because it is nearest to the eternity, infinity. So that which is nearest to the truth lasts longer. That which is farther away from truth, farther away from absolute, farther away from the imperishable, unchanging absolute, that dies out more quickly, more quickly, more quickly. Principles of life and living, which have withstood the tests of times, they must be nearer to the infinite. And being nearer to the infinite, they must be more conducive to bring us nearer to the infinite. Tradition of transcendental meditation is as old as human life, because it brings to us the knowledge about life. What life is. It is this tradition which brings to light a very clear picture of life, innocently true, verifiable by anyone at any time, in any place, because everyone is living that truth. Everyone is living life. Means everyone is going through the nature of life, and therefore the truth of life is verifiable in one's life. And what is that truth of life? Outer sphere of life is changing and progressing towards higher and higher evolution. Change in the relative field is always aiming at higher and higher unfoldment. This is the change. With change, even though everything is changing, fine, but look at that. The change is bringing about evolution, 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 evolution. Means the stream of life is towards the infinite, towards more and more and more and more. This is the nature of outer life. That the whole of the stream of outer life is motivated towards more and more, is motivated in the direction of more and more, in the direction of the infinite, absolute. And the inner nature of life is infinite, absolute, non-changing, eternal, imperishable being. The inner is absolute, outer is in search of the absolute, and therefore, by nature, the outer life finds its fulfillment in achievement of the inner life. This is the story of life. This is the map of life. And a tradition of teachers who expound this simple truth of life, that by nature life should be integrated. It's not necessary for anyone to remain deprived of the imperishable value of inner life while one is living the outer phase of life. The outer phase of life should always be supported and enriched and positively lived along with the inner. And therefore, for that, what should be done? The inner values should be brought to our notice. The inner values should be brought to our awareness. Therefore, what to do? We take our attention from the gross to the subtle and transcend the subtlest and get to the innermost core of life, which is infinite absolute being. First, the recognition of the nature of outer and inner life, and then a simple, natural, spontaneously brought about practice of bringing the attention from outside to inside, and thereby starting to live the integration of life. And everyone is born to live this integrated state of life, which means infinite energy, intelligence and happiness in every stroke of one's thought or action. A tradition of masters who are clear about this story of life and who have been responsible to restore this eternal wisdom of eternal life whenever it was found extinct or dim. The thing is, when we are living the glory of the house, because the foundation is out of sight, nobody bothers about the foundation. We live the enjoyment of the glory of the house. But foundation is out of sight, we don't bother. Like that, the outer sphere of life, through all the five roads of perception, five senses of action and five senses of perception, we are living the outer life, and the joy is enough in the variety. So we are held up with the joys of the variety and don't bother with that which is unseen, which is of transcendental nature, which lies deep within us. Because even outside us is enough of enjoyment. When this is the case, then our life is held up. Even though by nature it is supported by the infinite immortal being, but because the being is out of awareness, out of our knowledge, so we are held up with the perishable aspect of life. And even though there is a lot of variety and joy in the relative life, but then it would never be sufficient because it will never be fulfilling. The outer life is always seeking for more and more and more and more. Unless infinite comes to be lived, this stream of outer life will continue to flow towards more and more and more and more and more and more. Therefore, it won't find fulfillment. The river, as long as it continues to flow, fulfillment is far away. When it ceases to flow into the ocean and then becomes the ocean, there lies the fulfillment. Therefore, for the fulfillment of life, it is inevitable that the outer stream of life should strike against the inner infinite and start to live it. Time after time in the eternity, this knowledge about the real nature of life, about the truth of life, about the reality of life. When we say truth of life, then we mean two truths, truth of the relative and truth of the absolute. When we say reality of life, we mean two realities, one reality of changing nature in the relative and one reality of non-changing in the absolute. So reality of life means relative and absolute taken together. Integration of life means absolute and relative taken together. Remaining in the field of changeable circumstances, we start living the non-changeable, non-perishable, eternal, infinite bliss consciousness. So, some generation revives it. Some one master sees the truth and he comes out to shout aloud, "Come on, suffering is not necessary because the nature of the life is infinite bliss, and if you are not experiencing it, if you are not living it yourself, fine, close the eyes and find it within and bring it out and live it." And then this is passed on generation after generation, generation after generation, till it starts to become more adulterated with ignorance. And as adulteration comes, little bit trying starts. It needs only one man on the top, one master of wisdom on the top in the whole world to lose it. And if it gets more and more lost and more shrouded in confusion in every generation, and after a few generations, the life which is bliss is declared to be a struggle, a suffering. So much of the same exponents of the philosophy of life who are supposed to give integration of life in the natural way, after a few generations when the wisdom is lost, they start saying suffering is necessary and you must suffer. And through suffering you will become purified and the gates of heaven will be opened when you are purified. Such deep ignorance, and the population accepts it. This is how the wisdom gets collapsed. Time after time in nature it is revived, because Mother Nature would not allow the loss of wisdom for a very long time. Because if people continue to suffer, it is against the standards set by the cosmic intelligence. Cosmic intelligence has set life in evolution, 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 evolution. Evolution is natural to life. And anything that obstructs evolution will be obstructed for its life. It will be thrown out. So this ignorance, this loss of wisdom is thrown out by nature. Someone master springs up and he again shouts, "Come on, it's not necessary to suffer," and all that, all that. Again the wisdom is revived, and again it gets lost, and again it is revived, and again it gets lost. So this knowledge of life forms the universal value of existence. This knowledge of life, knowledge of integration, this forms the universal value of life. It is true for all men, at all times, in all places. The difference in time and space have no meaning for it. Whether a man is in Persia, whether he puts on a red cap, or someone belongs to America without cap, the outer aspect of life and inner aspect of life, the outer nature of life and inner nature of life, they are eternal features of existence. They go on. And therefore, integration belongs to every man. This story of life, this map of life, this knowledge about life is universal. And this forms the nucleus of all improvement, all development, all progress. Round about this truth of life, round about this reality of life, hover around many, many principles here and there and there and there and there. Some are habituated to sit like that, maybe in the East. This universal practice of transcendental meditation does not mind whether a man sits like that or whether a man sits with knees down. Whatever, that is between the mind's outer aspect and mind's inner aspect. It has nothing to do with the customs of the people or the ways of living, which mainly belong to the geographical conditions of cold or heat, whether it's a cold country or it's a hot country or whatever are the climates, whether the life is on the water or it's on the hills or it's on the plains or whatever. Different conditions of living belong to different geographical divisions in the world. The universal reality of life equally belongs to all men, no matter whether they are living in ice-cold countries in Greenland and Iceland and North Pole or South Pole or on the equator burning hot. The universality. Now, this universal value of life is the nucleus of religion. Religion is something that is passed on from generation to generation, generation to generation. People living in Persia, people living in India, people living in Europe, in Italy, in England, here, people living under different climatic conditions adopt this universal value of life, this universal reality of life, and they imbibe it as the spirit of their living. This transcendental meditation, or a simple technique of enlivening the inner and outer sphere of life and living life free from suffering in God consciousness, this forms the nucleus, and around this nucleus are different ways of living: eating habits, sleeping habits, working habits, bathing habits or basking in the sun habits, all these different habits to suit the body, to suit the climates. But this reality of life continues season after season, cold season, hot season, whatever. So out of this universal value of life spring many religions of land. Religion of my land, religion of this land. These religions of land are the expressions of this universal reality of life being adopted in terms of the geographical conditions of different countries. Someone spoke in Hebrew. The same universal reality of life, when the people speaking Hebrew forgot about it, someone came along and spoke in Hebrew. The same universal reality was revived under the same conditions of living. Someone came along in Arabia, in the desert. Same universal reality of life, that inside is the light of God and outer life should not be deprived of the light of God. It should be lived, and come on, live it, do meditation 5 times a day. Muhammad said 5 times a day. Fine. People in the desert don't have much crop to grow or something. They keep on kneeling down 5 times. Very good. Someone somewhere said, come on, once in the church and that will be enough. Fine, once a week. Different conditions of living, but the teaching, essential teaching, the central point is the same: unfoldment of the full reality of life, which is a universal feature about life. So, What we find in this analysis is that there is a universal religion. Now religion, re, back, legio, to bind. That which binds one back to the source is religion. This religion aims at the unfoldment of the light of God, and that light of God be lived here. Whatever the conception of God, but the reality of God is according to different religions, but almost all religions have one common ground, that there is the light of God kindled in each heart. Go within and find out and live it in the world. This universal reality is common in all the religions. And how to live, the whole way of life is designed by religion of the land in such a way that no matter what we do, we are proceeding towards the light of God. Meaning thereby, the nervous system should be saved from gaining stresses and strains. Religions of each land, they say, do like that and do like that. And these religions have given rise to some other word, what we say, culture. Religious becomes the nucleus and the culture, different ways how we should dress and what we should do and what we should eat and what we should speak, and that is my language and that is his language, and that is my dress and that is his dress. These different ways of living, the culture is another child of religion. Religion is to guide the behavior of man, how to do things, so that the whole stream of life is moving towards the light of God, and the light of God becomes a living reality. This universal spirit of religion, we could call it a universal religion, true for all times, true for all places, irrespective of all the differences here and there. This spirit of universal religion is the nucleus of all religions. And the reality of life is just outer aspect of life, inner aspect of life, and outer is heading towards the inner, and inner is inviting the outer and is ready to go with the outer. Just this universal spirit of every religion guides the destiny of the religions of the land. Now these religions of the lands are, they keep on changing. 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 years, 5,000 years. And generally the change is brought about with the change of language. The language has its own shifts from this to this to this to this to this. And language is a medium for expression of the truth. But the habits of the people, when they fall off these set standards and they go, and then the man starts suffering more and more, Mother Nature can't afford to see the children suffering. The reality of life must be revived. A revival comes. Some religious leaders start saying, oh, the light of God is this and this and this and this. People gain some advantage out of his teachings, follow his teachings. This is how, when the spirit of religion gets lost, new religions arrive out of the same material. Just newer and newer religions of lands. With different prophets, new name comes. But the essential material of religion is the same. A prophet speaks in the language of his time, and then a revival comes. Such revivals have been there, innumerable, from time to time, at different times, in different lands. And religions went on in the name of this prophet, in the name of this prophet, and all the prophets. Depending upon how much influence the prophet had, he was considered that big god. This god, that god, that god, that god. Everything is fine as long as the truth is revived. Whether it is revived in the name of the religion of the land or in the name of this universal spirit of religion, doesn't matter. What matters is the revival of the knowledge about life. All these religions, the story of the religions is very, very interesting. Actually, the whole story of life is this, and the life is not new in the world. It's millions and millions of years. Indian history has that Indian the records of millions of years of life, and all the religions are as if the growth of the tree of life in time, maybe millions of years and 10 million years and billion years, something. Then one religion comes out here, and as time goes on, another religion comes out, and the third religion comes out, and the fourth is on the bird, and the fifth comes this way, and the sixth on this way. This is in time, 10,000 years, and maybe 5,000 years, maybe 2,000 years, maybe 1,000 years, maybe spiritual regeneration movement in the present. But these are all the offsets of the same proclamation about the universality of life, about the universal reality of life. Now, maybe this is east and this is west. All the religions are just the different branches extending towards east or extending towards west. But the origin is the same big trunk, huge trunk of eternity, giving rise to different branches of religion extending to east, extending to west. Some people living this side, eating the fruits of this branch, they adore this branch, and it's quite legible that they adore this branch. Some people living under this branch, and it's quite legible that they adore this branch. This is eastern branch and this is western branch. Adoration of one's own branch, beautiful, but ignorance of the trunk is terrible. Ignorance of the trunk is terrible. And when the people enjoying the fruits of the eastern branch and western branch and singing the glory of the east or west, when they forget the main trunk, this also starts to be dry, and this also starts to be dry, and with all the glory of its fruits, and with all the glory of its fruits, the fruits begin to be dry, and then there is no charm in either the fruits of this or the fruits of this. The gardener who is vigilant about the whole affair now starts watering the root. And when the root of the main trunk is watered, this also flourishes and this also flourishes, singing the glory of the east and singing the glory of the west, no matter. All these songs of the glory of the east or the west, they are absolutely pertinent and absolutely justified. But what is miserable is the ignorance about the main trunk. We belong to the clinging on to the main trunk, watering the root of the main trunk and supplying nourishment to this and 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 to this. Our tradition belongs to the masters who didn't bother about the branches, but they held on with the main trunk and kept watering the main trunk. Whenever the branches showed decay of fruits, they watered the main trunk and supplied the nourishment to all the religions throughout the world. And they didn't bother in the name of religion It's the universal spirit of life that they supplied everywhere. Religions flourished of their own. This is the story of our tradition. Tradition of transcendental meditation is a most innocent tradition hanging on to the glory of the trunk, main trunk, universal reality of life. This is eternal religion. If we call in terms of religion, it's eternal religion, it's universal religion, but we don't call it in terms of religion. It's enough that all the religions find their fulfillment from the nourishment derived from the main trunk. Now, every generation has had the masters in this tradition, here and here and here. And as time would have it, the long traditions, in the long lapse of time, things get forgotten. And why things get forgotten? Because of the perfection of knowledge they get forgotten. The perfection of knowledge. The perfection of knowledge.